You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join in the conversation on our Facebook page or on Twitter. And be sure to like and follow us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live as we continue here on a Wednesday morning. I'm one of your hosts, Brandon Clark, joined by
Steve Splunskowski.
And we just finished up a really good interview with Bishop Donald DeGroote of the Diocese of Sioux Falls. I want to encourage you to check out the podcast later today to listen to that as we talked about the Star of the North Eucharistic Congress and what that means to our region and how we can play a part in that. And just a reminder that the Real Presence Radio Spring Live Drive is coming up May 14th through the 16th. You can donate online or give us a call here, and really encouraging you to support our mission, this great mission of evangelization, to continue to broadcast the truth day and night, 24/7. So again, that spring live drive is coming up May 14th through the 16th. So mark your calendars and plan to call in and donate. All right, we're going to shift gears here now, Steve. I don't know if the studio walls can hold all the energy that's now in this room.
Right, but they barely can. It's mounting.
We've got Monsignor Joseph Gehring, who is the rector of the cathedral in the Diocese of Fargo. Are you still the vicar general as well?
I am still the vicar general.
Okay, still the vicar general as well. And we're going to be talking about praying and encountering silence in prayer and even overcoming some of the obstacles, Steve, that we might experience.
Absolutely. Well, we just talked with Bishop Donald DeGroote about really that he talked about the communion of life, light, and love, and really how these things kind of tie together. And oftentimes, we really have to stop and take a step back, right? All of the good works that we participate in, and I say participate because really the Lord is the one who does any good work that we do, but the good work that we participate in starts with that interior life, that interior life. The actual level of really the grace that can come from the good works that we do and the grace that we can receive is kind of, in a certain sense, really dependent on what we are capable of receiving, and that is based upon, right, how open we are to the grace of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk this hour with Monsignor Gehring about the importance of retreat. You know, so in a battle, retreat is bad because you may, well, not necessarily, you could retreat and really reorganize so you can come back and fight another day. And in life, the same sense is retreat. We're stepping back and saying, hold on, where is the Lord in my day? So let's talk a little bit about that importance. Let's start, Monsignor Gehring, with what's the importance of that interior life?
What's the importance of the interior life?
Yeah.
As I was looking and thinking about this, you know, prayer is our relationship with God. All right. So our being with, our walking with, our intimacy with him. And so if we don't work on that relationship, if we're not aware of that relationship, if we don't do things to feed that relationship, you know, God, of course, is the ultimate feeder. He's the one who gives us the grace for everything. But us as creatures, to be aware of that, to consciously turn to him every day to find out what's going on, here's where I'm at, what's your will for me, we need those things. And we get busy with many, many, many things. And sometimes we can let the busyness of I have this, this, and this task to do in my vocation, in my life, in my work, and we'll, you know, put God in at the end. Mm-hmm. And the idea is, okay, how do we put God in at the beginning?
Right, and even throughout, right? There can be a challenge.
And throughout, of course. So,
I
mean, yeah.
I feel like I have this great pattern of waking up in the morning and praying with my wife and children. I'm thinking, that's wonderful. And then I get to the end of the day, I'm like, that was great, Steve. What about the rest of the day, right? And that's a challenge for me, and maybe just being a German male, it's like, okay, Lord, I've prayed, and now I'm going to go do this thing, right? Exactly. Talk a little bit of that.
Well, I can talk about that. Today's the feast of, or the memorial of St. Joseph the Worker, of course, my patron, a St. Joseph guy. But really, yeah, and I'll talk to men for a moment on this. We can be very, very task-oriented. I can be very, very task-oriented. And we think, here's the stuff that I need to accomplish. I know this has happened throughout my priesthood where I have learned, praise God, over time, that, you know, when I'm the most busy, when I have the most things to get done, I've attempted the solution of, all right, I'm going to get up early, I'm going to go, 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 and then I'll, you know, spend some time with the Lord at the end of the day. You know, everybody's different, and we have our different dynamics, and some people are morning and some evening people. But just that very explanation of what I was going to do, you see the flaw in it. I'm going to go get my stuff done, and then I'm going to check in with the Lord. It's just not a good model. And so it's so important to reverse it, that the most important thing I'm doing today is I'm being the Lord's. Now, how I live out my vocation, what tasks I get accomplished, what I do with all my other relationships, they're all going to be made fruitful when I'm with the Lord. And contrariwise, if I attempt to do it on my own, you know, I'm going to give everybody less if I don't check in with him first, if I don't be with him, if I don't receive from him first. And so I've learned that very clearly over my task-oriented, driven life, that, you know, I'm a morning person, and that's my prime time. That's my first fruits. So when I get up, prayer is first, and then the other things will unfold as they come.
Yeah, I can fall into that trap of wanting to get up as a morning person and realizing that, you know, I'm most focused and able to get a lot done right away in the morning. So I'm like, well, if I just hammer through for a few hours, and then I can stop and pray. And we do get our family prayer in and stuff like that, but I can imagine that it would be much more fruitful. One of the things that I struggle with sometimes, and I'm sure a lot of people listening do, is that when we enter into prayer, especially as a man, I have this list of things that I need to get done. And so when I enter into prayer, sometimes all I'm thinking about is the things that I'm not getting done, or I have a tough time just slowing my mind down. Other things that weren't on my list are now coming into my mind to add to the list. So how do we work through those challenges and just be able to slow our hearts a little bit enough to be able to hear the voice of the Lord?
So the primary acknowledgement is we are only going to be fruitful in him. And so the way to prepare for the tasks of the day, the way to plan, the way to get ready, if you will, is to say, this time is our time. It's your time, God, and I want to be a part of that. And everything else is just going to flow. It's a decision. Now, that doesn't mean that we can, you know, shut our brains off about our different worries and things, but it makes, we need the reminder, right? I'm a priest. What Jesus wants to accomplish through me is what he wants to accomplish through me, not what I want to accomplish in the church.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, Jesus, you can come along for the ride, you know, and think about that in all vocations, right?
Yeah.
As a father, as a man, as a wife, whatever the case may be, this family, these children are your gift to me, but they're yours first.
Yeah.
And so all the worries that I have, you have. God, of course, doesn't worry the way we do because he's got things. But part of the prayer is to remind us of that.
Right.
He's got these things.
Right.
And so, okay, take a deep breath. Entrust my day to you. Entrust my worries to you. You know, maybe make my distractions or my whatever as the content of my prayer. Because the Lord wants to know how each of us is doing as individuals. And so there's nothing wrong. Again, we might be a little afraid to do this in our prayer, but there's nothing wrong with sitting down before the Lord and saying, I'm worried about this. How are you going to take care of me? That's a great question.
Yeah.
Or I'm mad at you today because things don't seem to be going very well, and I'm wondering if you have something against me. You know, who would dare to say that? But in one sense, it's very freeing and refreshing to exactly put those into words. Like, oh, Jesus is going to tell you, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would I be against you?
Yeah,
and I think we're with this. It's just funny because I was just having this conversation with the Lord yesterday, driving into town, where I just said, "Lord, I'm just going to tell you, I'm afraid."
Uh-huh.
You know, and as those words came out of my mouth, I was driving alone, talking. So the person next to me thought I was crazy, but it's like, "Lord, I'm just afraid." And as those words came out of my mouth, I felt like this loving embrace of a father, just saying, "And that's okay. That's okay. I know that." And you just kind of sometimes you just got to know it. And say to the Lord, this is how I feel. I don't know why. This is how I feel.
And that's what intimacy is, knowing and being known. All right? So if we don't acknowledge even to ourselves before Jesus what's going on, we're not going to be able to hear as well. I mean, he can do anything. He can blast through all of kinds of our deafness. But, you know, to provide that space so that he can speak is incredible. It's important. It's just vital. It's how do you plan to live your relationship?
Right. And I think to the level we're able to open up, that's the level we're able to receive, right? I just had this experience this weekend where I made a mistake and ordered something and there was a no return policy on it. And I was freaking out because it was a lot of money. And Tonya's like, it's okay. The Lord's going to take care of it, because she's just great like that. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't know how he's going to do this. Like, there's a no return policy. And she's like, well, you just have to open up and you have to let him be able to take care of this. And I was like, kind of gritting my teeth and clenching my fist.
Easy for you to say.
And I was like, interiorly, I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't think you're going to be able to do this, but let's just see. I'll give you that much room. And he's like, okay. So I talked with the company and I was able to get a different rate for the order. So I got reimbursed a little bit for that. And I was like, okay, well, that's a good start and stuff. And then Tonya wanted to just pray together. And I was like, fine, I'll just, because I was just really stubborn at that point. And so we prayed. And then at the end of that prayer, the company got back to me and said they were going to be able to reimburse the whole thing. And she's like, do you see what just happened there?
Uh-huh.
He was only able to, you were only open up enough for him to be able to give you half the amount back. But once you were able to totally hand it over, he's like, just blew the doors open, and a policy that was there meant nothing to him, and he was able to fix it. And I think the same can be true in our own prayer life, can it, Monsignor?
Well, again, yes, he's the one who's got the grace, he's got the plan, and he invites us to join, and he wants us to succeed. Doesn't mean he's going to make everything go according to the way we would like to see it happen, but...
Right.
But again, prayer and relationship isn't about everything going perfectly. It's about being in relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, folks, we've got to step away for a little break. But on the break, if you want to check out the website, Monsignor Garing is going to be leading a retreat for us June 20th to the 22nd out at Maryvale Retreat Center in Valley City. Check it out at maryvalend.org, maryvalend.org. And we're going to continue this conversation on the other side of the break right here on Real Presence Radio.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
I remember even during that time, and this was during the beginning years of John Paul II's pontificate, and whenever I heard him on TV, because he was always in the news, especially with his travels in Eastern Europe, Poland, and all, I would hear the things that would come out of his mouth, and I would go, there's no way this person is not closer to God than I am. Mm. You know, so I always had this sort of secret respect for John Paul II. Of course, I never said this to any of my brethren friends, you know.
You wouldn't dare.
No, of course not. But I don't mean to disparage them, because they taught me to love the scripture. And interestingly enough, even though they do not believe in the real presence of Christ in the sacrament, they had communion every Sunday. And so they really taught me to love the Lord's Supper and to love the scriptures. And so I'm really thankful to them for that.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In Luke 5, Jesus invites Peter, weary from a night of fruitless fishing, back out onto the Sea of Galilee to cast his nets one more time and trust Jesus for the results. To cast into the deep is to let go of our own opinions, desires, and the way things or people should be. To cast into the deep, even where we have already fished with no results, is to let go of independence, autonomy, and self-determination. The sooner we realize that our Beloved is holding us in His hands, the sooner we can get about the business of doing our Father's will. The sooner we will become disciples. Proverbs sums up this great secret lesson learned by the saints. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Let go and trust the Lord to direct your activities and your life. He knows what He's doing.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
This is Real Presence Live on the RPR Network, bringing you stories of faith and hope through local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live here on the RPR Network. We are visiting this morning with Monsignor Joseph Garing, and Before we went to break, Steve gave out the website as we talk about a three-day men's silent retreat that Monsignor Guerin's going to be leading at Maryvale Retreat Center in Valley City, North Dakota. The website, again, is maryvalend.org, maryvalend.org. There you can register for this retreat as we continue to talk about it. June 20th through the 22nd are those dates. So it begins Thursday, June 20th with lunch, and then ends on Saturday, June 22nd with lunch.
Yeah, and one of the reasons we're doing retreats kind of in that area is I know a lot of families want to be together on the weekend, and so I think it's a kind of great feeder where you step away, be with the Lord, and then come back and be with your family for Sunday Mass. And so, again, first, Monsignor Guerin, thank you for agreeing to do this.
I am delighted.
Did you agree, or was this more of like a voluntold thing?
I was given an offer I couldn't refuse.
That's right. I said I'd pray for him. No, so many of the priests in the diocese have really stepped up and had a willingness to help with retreats at Maryvale. It's such a great gift. So just a thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure.
We're talking a little bit about here about stepping away, and in talking about the stepping away, but also being men and this desire and natural desire to be active. So let's talk about a little bit of a contradiction of being actively resting in the Lord.
Sounds good. Okay. Well, one of the things that's kind of paradoxical to many people is you go on a silent retreat and you'd be amazed at how much work it is. You'd be really amazed at how much work a silent retreat is, because very often the format is, you know, the priest might give a bit of a direction or a bit of a talk, and then here's a scripture passage. Go off for an hour and pray with that piece of scripture. And unless you're ready for that, or unless you work on that, or unless you're very intentional about that, we can get with our prayer, well, I need to be doing a bunch of things, or maybe reading a couple chapters out of John's Gospel, and you gave me three verses to pray over for an hour. Well, what am I going to do after I've read them three times? You know, so it is work in terms of, here's the scripture. Jesus is going to talk to me through this scripture. And even if that particular prayer hour doesn't seem to me at this particular moment to be revelatory or brought me to some totally new place, I have chosen to give the Lord permission and given him my attention and let him have that space. And so, you know, the experiences can be very different, but to let him speak to us is so important, and it takes a discipline. Now, one of the challenges we face, I think you had asked about that, is, you know, we live in a very much, you know, technology, communication. You know, my cell phone will ring, my text messages will come in, there'll be a couple very important emails that will come in, and then if I go to my other office, there'll be another message there, and da-da-da-da. And so we get used to check, check, look about, check, 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 and to actually say to the Lord, and in our families in other ways, no, this time is way too precious for that. I can do that work anytime. I am here. I mean, my whole life, I'm created for you. I'm created to be in conversation with you. Let's start. Now, that's very uncomfortable.
Right.
I mean, anybody who's married can tell you that. Any place. Sit down at a family dinner and say, okay, let's talk about how everything is going. Well, that can start with a moment of, oh, I don't want to go first. Is what I have to say important? Or what will people think of what I have to say, or whatever? And that same, if you will, hesitancy in prayer takes work. And, you know, that's work. It's hard. No, it's a wonderful, gorgeous opportunity to say, all right, we'll talk about the silent retreat, for example. I'm leaving my work. I'm going out to Maryvale. I'm going to shut off my phone. I'll leave a number where, you know, if something really, really out of this world happens, somebody can find me. But everything's set aside now for the Lord. And it's very hard to do that. It's hard to check out. We like to be needed. We're worried we need to be needed. But oh my, the fruits that can come out of it. I mean, the church has a long tradition of silent retreats, and it's not It's not for no good reason. And that tradition started long before we had such things as cell phones and everything else that constantly interrupt us. The Lord works wonders in the silence.
What I think what's interesting is you talk about the different messages coming in on the cell phone, the emails, all that, is the Lord is sending the same
messages.
He's
sending messages all the time, right, exactly.
We just have to, get so bogged down with the ones that are most notable, the ones that are dinging and grabbing our attention, that we lose sight of the fact that he's sending even more important messages.
Right. And we have this experience, again, in our houses, right? Me living with other priests, you living with your families. If you're looking at your screen, if you're constantly paying attention to that, you don't see that your child is looking to say something to you. Your wife is looking to say something to you. For me, a brother priest is looking to say something. It's like, oh, am I not important enough to have any of your attention? And similarly with the Lord. You know, is he important enough to have our attention? And we all know the answer. Yeah. It's the choosing of it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point you talked about. We want to be needed. We need to be needed. And as soon as I saw that, I recognized it myself, where it's like, I want, if no one needs me, what's my purpose?
What's my purpose?
Right.
And so the Lord thirsts for you, right? The Lord thirsts for those prayer hours with us. He's, if you want to use language, and the biblical language works for that, he's jealous of our time. Like, I need you to know that I love you. How are you going to hear this?
And one way you can hear that is by a retreat, stepping away on a silent retreat. And I've been on a number of silent retreats. I remember my first silent retreat was with my wife, Jacinta, and I was not comfortable.
It's very uncomfortable to get started.
Yes. Like you said, okay, I've got three verses, and then I'm supposed to do what?
For a whole
sit and
hour?
Listen to the Lord? It's like, he ain't talking, so exactly. Maybe I should go check my phone.
So let's get something done.
Exactly. And it's a challenge, but it's been many, many years over now. I find myself just longing mm-hmm. for that time of silence, longing for that time to just hear him. And it's not a voice. I don't hear voices, but I mean, just hear his presence.
And different people are going to have a different way that the Lord speaks to them, right? Again, it's God's communication with us, and he speaks to us as we receive and as our relationship is. And so that's another thing that can happen on retreat, is you'll hear some people giving wonderful prayer experiences where the Lord said this and this and this, and some of us who the Lord doesn't quite speak quite exactly that way to might be like, huh, am I doing something wrong? No.
Right.
No. The Lord speaks to you as he knows you, and be at peace with that.
And I think it's interesting because, as you were talking about, as men were called to push into that discomfort. Well, everybody's called to push into the discomfort to grow in their relationship
with
the Lord.
Intimacy is a risk.
But, you know, I think about as men, our call specifically to sacrifice ourselves, especially for our wives and our children, the church, and it's amazing what happens when we're able to, Steve, push into that discomfort and just let the Lord have his way with us.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing. I like that phrase of pushing in, because sometimes as men, we're like, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go this direction instead.
Yeah.
Or the most comfortable thing is to do this. And we say, nope, Lord, I'm going to go here, but Lord, I need you to go here with me. And I think that's a challenge. I think especially for men, and talking to my sons about whatever certain struggles in their lives, it's like, okay, I don't want you to run away from this. I want you to take the Lord with you there and say, Lord, what are you going to do with this? My natural desire for work, my natural desire for intimacy, and then the disorder of my desire for work and the disorder of my desire for intimacy. Take the Lord there with you.
Right.
And say, what do you want to do about this, Lord?
And especially when we're struggling with things, right? I mean, we know, again, the Lord knows everything. He knows every sin I've ever committed or every will commit. So there's no way I'm hiding from him. So he doesn't draw back when I admit my sins and my faults. He wants to enter into that. And again, that's very important, because, you know, our enemy, the devil, he wants us to hide. And so to be able to go in our prayer and say, yeah, I really did have those thoughts yesterday, and I really nourished that anger yesterday, and I don't need to be ashamed of saying that to you. You already know it. Now, how will you heal me from that? Mm-hmm. How will I share with you my grief that I was that way, knowing that, you know, you want to heal that?
Right. About a minute and a half.
Not all prayer things are, you know, the perfection of, here's the good idea, and here's how, you know, we love to present ourselves that way. But the Lord wants the whole person.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Well, folks, gentlemen, if you are looking for a silent retreat, that one's coming up June 20th to the 22nd. Monsignor Joseph Gehring, who's our guest in the studio, will be leading that silent retreat. Check it out at maryvalend.org. maryvalend.org. You can sign up there for that retreat coming up June 20th to the 22nd.
Any last thoughts just about this upcoming retreat that you want to share with the guys listening?
Pray and ask the Lord if he wants you to go. That's an important piece, and it's worth the risk. You know, if you've never done it before, it might be very strange, but the Lord does wonderful things.
Absolutely. So,
all right.
Well, thank you, Monsignor. Appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Today.
My pleasure.
Again, as Steve mentioned, that website is maryvalend.org, where you can sign up. Again, it's Thursday, June 20th with lunch, ending on Saturday, June 22nd with lunch. So you get to have your weekend.
Absolutely. And, of course, a lot of these retreats we're doing at Maryvale. The cost is $50 for registration, and then we ask you to give an additional gift afterwards. So don't let the cost keep you from coming on retreat.